Welcome to our deep dive today. We're going to be tackling something I think we can all relate to, the idea of focus. But we're not just talking about, everyday focus here. We're going to explore it through the lens of the Bible, specifically focusing on Jesus.
Okay.
So we've got two sets of scriptures here,
Right.
but laser focused on Jesus and this idea of focus. And trust me, these verses go way beyond just simple concentration. They dive into how focusing on Jesus connects to strength, resisting temptation, and even those incredible moments where we experience the miraculous.
It is fascinating how much wisdom these ancient texts hold for us, even today.
Yeah.
You know, they offer a perspective on focus that's deeply relevant to our modern lives.
Absolutely. So we're seeing a lot about seeking first the kingdom of God and setting our minds on things above. It almost feels like resetting our internal compass. But with so many verses, where do we even begin to unpack this idea of focus?
Well, Hebrews 12:2 is a great place to start. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." This verse really sets the stage for understanding that biblical focus isn't just about mental concentration. It's about aligning our entire being, our thoughts, desires, and actions with Jesus as our ultimate reference point.
Okay, so you're saying it's more than just thinking about Jesus every now and then.
Yeah.
It's about consistently orienting ourselves towards him, making him the central focus of our lives.
Precisely. Think of it this way. In the Bible, looking unto isn't about a quick glance. It implies ongoing contemplation, a deep and continuous awareness of Jesus that influences every aspect of our being.
Wow, I'm already starting to see how this goes so much deeper than I initially thought. And then we have Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This verse has always resonated with me, but I'm curious about how it directly connects to focus.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question. This verse highlights the importance of alignment. When we prioritize seeking God's kingdom and aligning our goals with his will, it brings a natural clarity that enhances our focus. It's about discerning what truly matters from an eternal perspective and letting that guide our attention.
That makes me think about the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10:42. Martha was busy serving, while Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, absorbing his teachings. Jesus commended Mary for choosing the good part, emphasizing the importance of being present with him and prioritizing those moments of connection.
Yes. And it's not that being busy or serving is inherently bad. It's about recognizing that prioritizing time with Jesus, listening to his teachings, learning from him, and allowing that to fuel our actions is crucial for maintaining a focused and purposeful life.
So you're saying it's not just about what we focus on, but also how we focus, being fully present, not just going through the motions.
You got it. It's about intentionally choosing where we direct our attention and making sure that aligns with our desire to be more like Jesus. And this is where those verses about guarding our thoughts come in.
Okay, I'm seeing those verses now. Philippians 4:8 and Colossians 3:2. What always stands out to me is their specificity. It's not just vague, good vibe stuff. They give us a clear framework for directing our attention, almost like a mental filter for navigating the information overload of our modern world.
Exactly. In an age of constant stimulation, these verses are incredibly relevant. Philippians 4:8 tells us to think about things that are true, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy.
Right.
Colossians 3:2 echoes that sentiment by urging us to set our minds on things above, not earthly things. It's like having a mental checklist to evaluate what we allow into our minds and hearts.
You know, it makes you wonder what our lives and maybe even the world would look like if we truly applied this kind of filter to everything we consume, the news, social media, even our own internal chatter. It's a lot to consider. It's a challenge, but the potential impact is huge. And it leads us to another crucial aspect of focus, its role in resisting temptation.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does focusing on Jesus help us when we're faced with temptation?
Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 offers this powerful reassurance. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. It's like having a lifeline in those moments when temptation feels overwhelming.
I really love that verse. It's so encouraging to remember that we're not alone in our struggles and that God is always there to help us through.
Exactly. And the key here is focusing on God's faithfulness and power. When our focus is on him, we're less likely to be swayed by fleeting desires. We remember who we are in Christ and draw strength from his promises. It's like having an anchor that keeps us steady even in the midst of a storm.
It's like that beautiful analogy of the vine and the branches in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Staying connected to Jesus, drawing nourishment from him like a branch draws from the vine, seems crucial for everything, including focus.
You're absolutely right. And that connection isn't passive. It requires conscious effort. We have to actively choose to focus on Jesus, to abide in him, in order to receive the strength and nourishment we need to thrive. It's not just about hoping for the best. It's about making a conscious choice to stay connected.
So we're talking about intentionally aligning our mental bandwidth with Jesus. The more we focus on him, the stronger that connection becomes, and the more we're able to resist temptation and live a fruitful life.
That's a fantastic way to put it. And it brings to mind another powerful story, Peter walking on water.
Ah, yes. Matthew 14:28-31. That scene is so vivid. The wind, the waves, Peter's initial faith turning to fear as he takes his focus off Jesus and fixates on the storm. It's such a powerful visual of what happens when we lose our focus.
It really is. That moment when Peter starts to sink is a pivotal point in the story. It's a metaphor for our own lives. When we fixate on our problems, anxieties, or distractions, our faith wavers and we lose our footing. But when we keep our focus on Jesus, even when the storms rage around us, we can walk on water, so to speak.
It's like fear and faith are on opposite ends of a seesaw. Whatever we focus on gets amplified. Focus on fear, and it grows. But focus on Jesus, and that's when we see those incredible, miraculous things happen.
Exactly, and that's where the importance of having an eternal perspective comes into play. It's about shifting our focus from the temporary to the eternal.
Right, like in 2 Corinthians 4.18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is the eternal. And then those verses about setting our minds on things above in Colossians 3.2 and 1 John 2.15-17 really echo that idea.
Absolutely. These verses remind us to view our lives through the lens of eternity. This isn't about escaping the present or neglecting our earthly responsibilities. It's about aligning our focus with God's bigger picture, which gives us clarity and resilience amidst worldly distractions.
It's like zooming out from the day-to-day chaos and remembering that this earthly life is just a blip on the radar of eternity. Mm-hmm. I feel like that shift in perspective can be so grounding, especially when life gets overwhelming.
It really can. And I think that's a perfect segue into the practical side of things, because you're right. It's one thing to talk about these concepts, but how do we actually cultivate this Jesus-centered focus amidst the whirlwind of our modern lives?
Now that's the million-dollar question. And that's exactly what we'll explore in part two of our deep dive. Welcome back, everyone. I'm really excited to dig into the practical side of this focus thing. We've talked about focusing on Jesus, but now I'm curious about the how. How do we actually cultivate this kind of focus in our daily lives? It's easy to talk about these concepts, but putting them into practice in our busy, tech-driven world, that feels like a whole other challenge.
You're absolutely right. It is a challenge, but not an insurmountable one. And it's a journey, not a destination. There's no magic formula. But the Bible does offer some practical guidance.
Okay, so what's the first step on this journey of cultivating focus? Where do we even begin?
Well, I think Romans 12.2 provides a fantastic starting point. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The key here is that idea of transformation through the renewing of our minds.
Okay. That makes sense. But what does renewing of your mind actually look like in practice? How do we do that?
It's an ongoing process of intentionally shifting our thought patterns from worldly to godly. It's about recognizing those negative, anxious, or self-centered thoughts that creep in and consciously replacing them with truths from Scripture, with reminders of God's love, faithfulness, and power.
So it's like mental decluttering.
Oh.
We're weeding out the unhelpful thoughts and planting seeds of truth in their place.
Exactly.
That's a really helpful image.
And just like physical exercise strengthens our bodies, these mental exercises strengthen our minds. We can train our minds to focus on what matters through practices like meditating on Scripture, prayer journaling, and even listening to uplifting music or podcasts.
It's like we're building a mental muscle, and the more we use it, the stronger it becomes. But let's be real for a second. We live in a world that is literally designed to distract us. Our phones are buzzing. There's always something to watch, someone to connect with. It feels like an uphill battle sometimes. How do we create space for this intentional focus when we're constantly bombarded with distractions?
That's where boundaries come in. We have to be proactive about setting limits on the things that steal our attention. Maybe that means setting specific times to check email or social media, or putting your phone on airplane mode for certain periods of the day. It could even mean fasting from social media altogether for a set time.
It's about taking control of our technology instead of letting it control us. But I have to admit, that's often easier said than done. Any tips for actually sticking to those boundaries?
You are absolutely right. It does take discipline, and it's an ongoing process. But remember, it's not about achieving perfection. It's about making progress. Every small step we take towards creating space for God is a victory.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about that concept of seeking first the kingdom of God that we talked about earlier. If that's truly our top priority, it naturally informs how we spend our time, what we consume, and how we interact with the world. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It affects every aspect of our lives.
Exactly. It's about integrating our faith into every part of our lives. It's about making choices that reflect our desire to be more like Jesus. And this brings us to another key element of cultivating focus: community.
You're talking about surrounding ourselves with people who support our spiritual growth, right?
Precisely. Hebrews 10.25 encourages us not to give up meeting together, but to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. When we have a community of like-minded believers around us, they can encourage us, challenge us, and help us stay focused on Jesus.
It's like having a spiritual support system, a team of people who are cheering us on and helping us stay on track.
That's a great way to put it. And let's not forget the power of prayer. Talking to God, seeking His guidance, and asking for strength to resist temptation, prayer is essential for staying focused.
It's like having a direct line to the ultimate source of strength and wisdom. And that reminds me of Philippians 4.6, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer or petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." I feel like bringing our anxieties to God in prayer can be so freeing, especially when those anxieties are threatening to steal our focus.
You're absolutely right. When we surrender our anxieties and worries to God, He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that peace helps us to focus on Him more clearly. And it's not just about asking God for help. It's also about being still and listening to His voice, spending time in His Word, allowing Him to speak to our hearts. It's all part of cultivating that deep, abiding connection that fuels our focus.
I love how you brought that back to the story of Mary and Martha. Even amidst the busyness and demands of life, choosing to be present with Jesus and absorbing His teachings, that's what truly nourishes our souls.
Yes, and it's in those moments of quiet contemplation that we often receive clarity, guidance, and renewed strength to stay focused on what truly matters.
Okay, so we've talked about mental decluttering, setting boundaries, the importance of community, and the power of prayer. It's a lot to take in, but it's all so helpful.
It is a lot, but remember, it's a journey. Start small. Focus on one area at a time, and be patient with yourself.
Great advice. So before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm curious about one more thing. We've talked about practical steps, but what about the motivation behind it all? Why is it so important to focus on Jesus in the first place? It can't just be about self-improvement or achieving some kind of spiritual high score. There has to be a deeper purpose, right?
You're absolutely right. There is a deeper purpose. The more we focus on Jesus, the more we become like Him. We start to reflect His love, His compassion, His grace, God's favor, but about becoming more like the one we love and adore.
You know, that makes me think of 2 Corinthians 3.18. "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." The more we gaze upon Jesus, the more we become like Him. And I love how that transformation isn't just an internal thing. It spills over into how we interact with the world around us.
Exactly. As we become more like Jesus, our priorities shift, our desires change, and our lives begin to reflect His purpose for us. It's like a ripple effect spreading outward from our hearts to touch the lives of those around us. And it's in that outward expression of our faith that we truly begin to experience the incredible benefits of a Jesus-centered life.
That's a perfect transition to the final part of our deep dive. I'm really excited to explore those benefits. What happens when we actually align our lives with Jesus?
Right.
What's the payoff, so to speak? All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into focusing on Jesus. And I've got to say, after those last two segments, I'm even more intrigued by this idea of the payoff. We've talked about the what and the how of focusing on Jesus, but now I'm really eager to understand the why. What difference does it actually make in our lives? What are the benefits of aligning ourselves with Him?
That's a great question, and I think it's the most exciting part of this whole conversation. The benefits of a Jesus-centered life are truly multifaceted and profound, impacting every aspect of who we are spiritually, emotionally, even physically.
So it's not just about some vague sense of spiritual fulfillment. There are tangible, real-world benefits to focusing on Jesus.
Absolutely. It's about experiencing a transformation that starts from the inside out. And it all begins with understanding our identity in Christ.
You're talking about embracing who we are as God's beloved children, right?
Yeah.
Not trying to earn his favor, but simply resting in the truth that we are already loved and accepted by him.
Exactly. When we truly grasp that truth, it changes everything. It impacts how we see ourselves, how we relate to others, and how we navigate the challenges of life.
It's like putting on a new pair of glasses and seeing the world and ourselves with fresh perspective. But can you give us some specific examples? What are some of the tangible ways that focusing on Jesus actually benefits our lives?
Well, let's start with the spiritual realm. As we spend time with Jesus through prayer, reading scripture, and simply being in his presence, our faith naturally deepens. We become more rooted and established in his love, his promises, and his character, and that unshakable faith becomes an anchor in the storms of life.
That makes me think of Ephesians 3:17, which talks about being rooted and established in love. The more we focus on Jesus, the stronger our spiritual foundation becomes. It's like building our house on solid rock instead of shifting sand.
That's a great analogy. And that strong foundation allows us to weather any storm that comes our way. But it's not just about enduring hardship. Focusing on Jesus also unlocks a level of joy, peace, and contentment that the world simply can't offer.
Ah, yes. The kind of joy that transcends our circumstances. The kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. That's powerful, especially in a world that's constantly chasing happiness in all the wrong places.
It really is. And that inner peace radiates outwards, impacting our relationships, our work, and our interactions with the world. We become more compassionate, forgiving, and patient with others because we're drawing from that well of peace within us.
So it's not just about an internal transformation. It's about becoming a reflection of Jesus's love and character to the world around us.
Precisely. As we grow more and more into the image of Jesus, we naturally begin to share his love and light with others. And that can have a ripple effect, making a real difference in the world.
That's a beautiful thought. It's like that quote from Mother Teresa. Spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. When we're focused on Jesus, that kind of love becomes contagious.
I love that. And let's not forget the impact on our mental and emotional well-being. Focusing on Jesus combats anxiety, worry, and fear. Instead of dwelling on our problems, we can fix our eyes on him, the one who holds all things together.
That reminds me of Philippians 4:6-7.
Yeah.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's like trading in our worries for peace. Our anxieties for trust.
Exactly. And that peace has a profound impact on our minds. It allows us to think clearly, to make wise decisions, and to navigate life's challenges with grace and resilience.
I can see how that would also help us break free from those negative thought patterns that can be so draining and discouraging. When our minds are fixed on Jesus, those negative spirals lose their power.
You're absolutely right. When we focus on Jesus, we start to see ourselves through his eyes as beloved, forgiven, and worthy of his unconditional love. That perspective shift can be incredibly healing. It's like trading self-criticism for self-compassion.
I love how all these benefits, deeper faith, lasting joy, greater peace, emotional healing, are all interconnected. It's like they weave together to create a tapestry of wholeness.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And that wholeness extends even to our physical well-being. There's a growing body of research showing that practices like prayer, meditation, and gratitude, all rooted in focusing on God, have positive effects on our physical health.
Wow, that's fascinating. So it's not just about spiritual and emotional health. It's about our overall well-being, mind, body, and soul.
Exactly. And as we experience these benefits, deeper faith, greater peace, emotional healing, even physical well-being, it fuels a beautiful cycle. The more we taste and see that the Lord is good, the more we desire to focus on him.
It's like that verse in Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The more we experience his goodness, the more we're drawn to him. And the closer we get, the more we experience his transforming power in every area of our lives.
It's a beautiful ongoing journey of discovery and transformation. And it all starts with that simple decision to focus on Jesus.
So to wrap things up, it sounds like focusing on Jesus isn't just about following a set of rules or trying to be good enough. It's about experiencing a life of purpose, joy, peace, and wholeness that flows from a deep, abiding relationship with him.
Yes. It's about embracing the abundant life that Jesus offers and allowing him to transform us from the inside out.
Well said. And it's a message that I think we all need to hear, especially in the midst of the busyness and distractions of our modern world.
Absolutely. No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you can choose to focus on Jesus today. It doesn't have to be complicated. Start small, be consistent, and watch how he works in and through you.
Great advice. So to all our deep divers out there, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've explored the meaning of biblical focus, discovered practical steps for cultivating it in our daily lives, and uncovered the incredible benefits it brings. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling inspired and challenged to put these insights into practice.
Me too. And remember, this is just the beginning of the journey. There's so much more to discover about the transformative power of focusing on Jesus. Keep exploring, keep seeking, and keep growing in your relationship with him.
The perfect note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And remember, the journey continues even after this deep dive ends. Take these insights, let them simmer, and see how they can shape your own walk with Jesus. Until next time, keep diving deep and keep your eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith.